I'm here to introduce a paper that my colleagues Veronique Ambrosini, Nardine Collier, and myself, Cliff Bowman, just recently had published in the British Journal of Management. The title of the paper is Dynamic Capabilities, an Exploration of How Firms Renew Their Resource Base. Just a bit of background, we're building on a piece of theory called the resource-based view of the firm, which you may or may not be familiar with. The idea of the resource-based view, or the RBV, is that firms can gain and sustain advantage if they have unique, valuable and inimitable resources. Now, the problem is that if the environment changes quite substantially, then something that was valuable today may well not be valuable tomorrow. So in the late 90s, a different view of how to sustain advantage has evolved, which has been called the dynamic capabilities view. Now, the idea here is that a firm's resource base has to be continually changed, refreshed, reconfigured, leveraged, and enhanced in order to sustain advantage in fast-moving or dynamic environments. Now, the contribution that we're making is to take this idea of dynamic capabilities and develop it into actually three different forms of capability, which we call incremental capabilities, renewing capabilities, and regenerative capabilities. And we also introduce the idea that managers' perceptions of the need for change will trigger whether or not these capabilities are used. There's one other thing that we need to put up front, and that's the idea of a capability is that it can't be a one-off sort of ad hoc change. A capability implies repeated performance. So this is a skill that the organisation has that's been deployed several times, and the capability has been kind of honed over time. We'll come back to that issue later on. If I just explain, firstly, incremental dynamic capabilities. Now, no firm faces a completely stable environment. There will always be change, but some environments move much less rapidly than others. In this kind of context, an incremental dynamic capability enables the firm to improve through continuous improvement processes the resource base. So the resource stock, the stock of resources that the firm has, doesn't substantially change. What it does do is it continuously improves. Okay, so these are refined, these capabilities are become more effective or more efficient. I mean, for example, there's a company called E2V, which is in the waste management business. And to ensure that they get maximum energy usage, they keep reconfiguring their processes and systems so that they continually reduce energy consumption. They work on being able to recycle more and more waste in terms of the quantity that they can handle, e.g. number of tons of cardboard, and the types, like paper, oil, solvents, etc. So we're not suggesting that their resource base actually is different as a result of these capabilities, but it evolves and emerges and becomes more efficient and effective. Now, those incremental dynamic capabilities fit those relatively stable environmental conditions. Now, the next step up from that would be where we have more dynamic and changing environments, but maybe where they're changing in ways which are more or less predictable, okay, although the pace of change will be faster. Here, we would suggest the firm needs renewing dynamic capabilities. Now, these refresh and change the resource stock itself with the introduction of new resources, maybe from outside the corporation, by leveraging these resources, by reconfiguring them, changing them in some way, grouping them in different ways, getting different synergies between them. Now, there are examples of corporations that have done this kind of thing, that employ these dynamic capabilities almost as a routine part of the way they do business. A couple of examples, Virgin would be a good one, where it started out in retailing records a long time ago. But then the brand has been leveraged, okay? So the brand's been leveraged into railways, into airlines, into cola, cosmetics, bridal wear, a quite disparate group of products and services. So the dynamic capability here is to identify the resource, which is the brand, and then to move it into areas where it might add more value. Okay, so we're taking the brand, and essentially the brand in this case signifies something to the customers, something about honesty, reliability, and trust, if you like, that's wrapped around the brand. Another example would be Sony's ability to miniaturize, and they've taken that capability, that basic know-how, into radio, clearly hi-fi, computing, and personal navigation. So those are the renewing dynamic capabilities. Now, the main thrust of the paper is to introduce this idea of regenerative dynamic capabilities. Now, here we're facing a context of discontinuous change, shock, a very turbulent environment. And what these capabilities do is they change other dynamic capabilities. So in a way, they change the way the corporation changes. Now, as a consequence, they don't have a direct impact on the resource base of the firm. They work via changes to other dynamic capabilities. So the effect that they have is delayed or lagged. So they change the form of the dynamic capability from, for example, the leverage capability that we mentioned with Virgin. We might move that into a different capability, which is about trying to integrate different parts of the business. Not sure why Virgin would want to do that, but that would be a shift in the dynamic capability. Or adding a dynamic capability, e.g. adding the leverage capability to where we already had a reconfigurating or integrating capability. A good example would be Glaxo. Okay, if we go way back to the 50s, Glaxo, along with other pharmaceutical companies, basically employed learning and R&D capabilities. They developed new chemical entities, tested them, and managed to produce a pipeline of drugs. Now, the problem is, once the low-hanging fruit was plucked by Glaxo and others, the pipeline started to close off. Now, they then shifted their way of changing and developing the resource stock by moving away from an R&D-led approach to, firstly, a phase where there was integration of very large pharmaceutical companies. So Glaxo merged with SmithKline, who had earlier actually combined with Beecham. That was in the 80s to produce GlaxoSmithKline. But then a different capability has been introduced into these organizations. I'm not that sure that it's been desperately effective, but here they're trying to then grow new possible future resources by buying up many, many small biotech companies that have never actually made a product, let alone made any money. And then they need the capability there to extract value and to integrate these acquisitions into the kind of very large drug development capability that they already have. And in fact, more recently, GSK have embarked on a series of divestments, and they've looked to outsource activities that maybe they traditionally performed in-house. So the original learning processes of R&D have been augmented in a way by three different phases of reconfiguration that you can track back over the last sort of 30, 40 years. The first phase of the mega mergers involved similar firms combining together. Then the second phase consisted of the acquisition of dissimilar firms, you know, much smaller businesses with different technologies. And the most recent phase that I mentioned there consisted of restructuring and outsourcing activities. So here we've had a shift in the way that the organization changes itself that we can track over, as I say, a 30 or 40 year period. Now, I said I'd return to this issue of dynamic capabilities being repeat performances, honed capabilities. Now, our view about regenerative capabilities is that they may well be repeat performances, but these are fairly infrequent changes to the organisation. So it's hard to see how inside a corporation, or certainly a business unit, they would have enough experience to say that they had this capability. Now, that leads us to the final points that I want to make. The first is that the repeated performance of regenerative capabilities could exist at the corporate level. So there might be people at the corporate level who are skilled and experienced in effecting these kinds of changes. So they do this thing as a routine activity, but of course it's new to every business unit that they introduce these changes to. This capability could be embodied in a particular individual. A particularly capable CEO might have this ability to transform and change the way the organization manages its resource base. And that individual might be able to do that by moving from one corporation into another. And the final point is that the capability might actually be in change consultants who are external to the corporation. Now, for these consultants, this is their stock in trade. This is their core business. They do this as a matter of routine. But when they're introduced into a particular context, it's a one-off for the firm that they're performing in. Okay, so just to conclude, that the paper also stresses that the dynamic capabilities will only be enacted or performed, if you like, if managers perceive the need to do that. So there's an issue here about how managers perceive the environment, and that there might be a tendency for them to maybe on the one hand overestimate the need to change things, or indeed underestimate the need to change. And our view would be that it's the latter that's more likely, that there's more likely that they underestimate that changes are required. Thanks for listening.